Welcome to the Tate Talks podcast.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by JumpCloud for MSPs. JumpCloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic.
Hello and welcome to Tate Talks Season 5. Can you believe they've given us another series and we're back for more? And so the good news is we're starting off with Paul Barnes of Ovea. Now, Paul is local to me. Really interesting chat about product. Also, his family connection to Seve Ballesteros and his ability to blag backstage passes. Hope you enjoy. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us today on Tate Talks. How are you doing?
I'm good, Chris. Really appreciative of you having me on the podcast today.
No, absolutely. It's my pleasure, and probably the nearest guest to me geographically. Maybe we could have done it in person.
I know, over a beer in a beer garden. It's glorious weather here.
Absolutely, it is. Although by the time this goes out, it might be the middle of winter, so we might be in 6 foot of snow, but we don't know. So before we get going, for the people that don't know you, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Any kind of fun facts, snippets, things that people don't know?
Yeah, sure, Chris. Yeah, so my name's Paul Barnes. I'm a product guy. So coming from a background of actually engineering way back when in 2006, when I joined a company called Prevex as a long-haired engineer. And then the CEO said I spoke too much, so put me into product management and sales. So that's kind of my background. I guess interesting facts, I do like my golf, and it was really inspired from having a family connection to the great Spanish golfer Seve Ballesteros. So that's kind of one of the interesting facts, I guess. And I love my music too, and so used to go to a lot of concerts, and I was a bit of a blagger as a kid, and so I used to go around with fake backstage passes and managed to get behind the scenes of all these bands. So yeah, a bit wild in my youth, but yeah, definitely calmed down now. I've got three kids and an amazing wife.
Wow. Okay. Well, what's this golf connection then? That's intriguing.
Yeah. So it's a bit distant on my mum's side. Connected to Seve. We keep in touch with some of the family too, and meet up occasionally. So yeah, no, it's a bit wild, but obviously Seve passed a few years back, but no, it's a great legacy he's left, and it's inspired many.
Yeah, absolutely. No, fantastic legacy. No, that's amazing to know. I certainly didn't know that, and I guess a lot of people will probably be surprised by that. And when you're blagging to get into bands, who did you get to see backstage passes
for? Oh, quite a few. So I was going to bands in probably early 2000. So the bands like the Libertines, the Strokes. There's a lot of like Elbow music. Never got behind the scenes of Radiohead, which was my number one band at the time. But yeah, used to be a bit of a groupie, I guess.
No, it sounds cool. So let's talk a little bit about your career, I guess. So I mean, I'm assuming you kind of didn't jump fully formed into the MSP world. So what were you up to before getting into this industry?
Yeah, so I mentioned I was in engineering. So I used to build MSIs installers for software. And so I did a bit of consulting, and then this small Derby company called Prevex, and I was looking for someone to build their installer. And so there I was, built the installer. And then, again, a CEO knew I talked a lot. And so he's like, well, you can kind of build the sales side, the channel side, and speak to them about requirements. So that was kind of the most informal product management sales role I probably had. But it kind of got me in touch with, those sales motions, appreciative of like all the things which, the target customers at the time were going through. And at the time, it was very much consumer antivirus, but also enterprise. So MSPs weren't really in the picture. And that was only until Prevex was sold to Webroot. And so that was in 2010. And Prevex, actually, the software which Webroot uses, even today, the Secure Anywhere software, that was the core was the Prevex antivirus. So it was around 2015 when, I know one of the guests which you've had on the show, Charlie Tomeo, who was at the time, he was leading the sales engineering team, he kept bugging me. He said, there's these guys which, keep saying, if you just did this and this, they'll be able to sell more of your solution. So at the time, we had a strategy of still consumer and enterprise, and this kind of MSP market was a big unknown for the whole company, not just myself. And it was really after a kind of a wild trip over to Malmo in Sweden, and spending the time with a partner where sat me down, showed me the product we had, and said, look, if you could just have this whole notion of a customer management, and so multiple sites, because we don't want to have a separate account for each one of our customers, and you do a bit more on the billing side, so it's more conducive with their business, then we'll sell more. And so kind of clicked at that point, because we're starting to hear the same thing from many others. And you know, after a few beers with the engineers, and we kind of came up with a model, and yeah, it was very iterative from then, but it really exploded. And I'm sure some of your listeners are kind of aware of how broad Webroot managed to get into the market, and how many customers. But we kind of, when I left in 2021, after numerous acquisitions of Carbonite and OpenText, we were well over 50,000 MSP. So it's great. And that was exposure. And ever since then, I've fallen in love with that channel. And that's really my focus moving forward as I kind of start a new venture.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And I guess it's good to hear for the listeners, because we're all, all MSPs or MSP vendors in this podcast anyway. And it's a great story with PrevX, because I remember back in the day when I was at Orchid, we dabbled with PrevX a little. But it's interesting you mentioned that, because we were a Sophos house at the time. And yeah, they had the exact same problem, that it was a great product, but there was no central management at all. And we used to speak to Sophos regularly and say, you need to build some kind of multi-tenant portal or some way for us to manage this, rather than having to kind of literally log on to each machine, Sophos server, to kind of manage that tenant, which was a pain. But I think they got there eventually as well.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, you know, the amount of vendors I speak with now, and that it's those kind of attributes and features of your product where, like, you've got to really understand the MSP's business of how they operate, and like the feature functionality of the like, for in our case, like the antivirus and protecting the users, sometimes in some cases comes secondary to that ease of management, ease of billing, and that user, that kind of experience. And so yeah, it's an eye opener for us. And you know, again, it's kind of front and center of what we're trying to do moving forward with our new company.
Yeah, absolutely. And I often think when pitching a product to an MSP, it's kind of, you've got to demonstrate one of two things, or ideally both, which is, how are you going to enable them to make some money, sort of, you know, revenue of reselling the product, and perhaps more importantly, how are you going to save them time, which is obviously, yeah, in the MSP model is equivalent to cash as well. So if you've got a way of managing lots of devices from a single console with fewer engineers, that's a big win for MSPs. So I think you're right. I think it's probably, in some cases, when it comes to evaluation, the management of these products is super important for MSPs.
Yeah, I fully agree.
So you mentioned that you left Webroot after all of those acquisitions. So what are you up to now?
Yeah, so just after, so where we got acquired by Carbonite and then OpenText, I did have a stint at Blackpoint Cyber. So you don't know who they are. They're out of Baltimore, you know, great MDR service. You know, had a year there running products, and then decided to take a break. You know, been working on it for a good 15 years solid. So yeah, had a third child, and thought, yeah, I'm going to spend some time at home. And it's quite refreshing just to have that kind of that time and space to kind of think. And it was really great timing because one of the founders of PrevX has also finished his stint from that journey to up to OpenText. So we kind of had a beer and decided to kind of do something together. So Marcus Hartwig, who's my now CTO, we decided to focus on a key area where I've been seeing it for a few years, and customers, more importantly, have been suffering for a number of years, especially in the MSP side. And it's really looking at the SaaS side, because all the data which our MSPs are managing is primarily in the cloud. And so from a security perspective, kind of you know, there's some visibility gaps, and also, you know, some potential opportunities for revenue as well when looking at securing and getting visibility into what's going on. So yeah, with that kind of high level goal of securing SaaS applications for MSPs and their clients, we came up with the idea of Ovea, and that's really what we've been really focused on. And yeah, we're making great progress. We've got a free product out there, and we're building our premium product. And yes, got some MSPs using it, getting good feedback. So yeah, that's kind of what we're up to now. And we've grown the team up to 7 people now, lots of engineers, and I'm kind of evolving my role from a producty guy to the sales and marketing side as well, which is all an adventure for me. So, but having fun.
No, it sounds great. And I'm always intrigued when sort of entrepreneurs sort of how you kind of decided. I mean, you probably sat down with a blank sheet of paper and thought, well, this is what we're going to do. You know, it's kind of a interesting conversation. I mean, was that your first thought, or did you sort of consider other things or iterate? Yeah. Or how did it work?
Well, the first thought was actually from a vendor perspective. We were thinking it's so many cybersecurity companies we knew that we're really bad at looking at what's going on in SaaS anyway. So it's kind of the dirty little secret, what I like to say in the industry, is that like vendors tout that, yes, we're protecting your assets and protecting users, but in reality, there's a blind spot in, especially for MSPs, in what's going on in the cloud. So what we're thinking is, well, we know how to build the technology and we can do it super effectively. Why don't we build something which we can license to the vendors? And save them millions of dollars in R&D, because it does cost a lot to build this out and manage it. So that was a primary idea. And then we're speaking to a few, and it's like, look, you guys can go and execute and build a product and go direct to MSPs and build a brand. And so we had that kind of pivot there. But it was always like, so it wasn't MSP specific at this time, but then quickly got into, look, we know the MSP market well, we know the pain points, we've got great connections as well. So why not focus on that? Again, that market we love so much. So that's kind of the pivot which we had. But yeah, it's always kind of new challenges which we face. But we've got a great team, and we're pivoting our way, hopefully, to success.
Yeah, I hope so. And so, how do MSPs get started? Is it something they can use already? Is it a product that they can sort of download or subscribe?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so not being from a sales background per se, and being annoyed with a lot of products in market where you have to speak to salespeople before you try, want to reduce that barrier completely. So go to our website. There's a link to the free tool. We're just about to launch some new capabilities, which will be out by the time your listeners hear this. So we have some alerting. So if security settings change in your Microsoft tenants, then we'll alert you. We've got some dark web searching, and this is all in the free tool. So yeah, it's free.ovir.io, and yeah, try it and give us feedback. So yeah, it's kind of a journey we're going on. Free, we want to get some validation off a platform, but also, you know, get some great feedback on the features, and then building out that premium service, which will do more active alerting and response. Because that's the vision, is that because we've got a lot of AI knowledge in the team, we're going to be leveraging that heavily to kind of reduce the burden on MSPs having to make decisions, and reducing these false alerts, which kind of are rife with this type of technology.
Yeah, sounds great. And I'll put a link to the to the website in the episode description, and your LinkedIn and everything. So I guess if people want to contact you to offer some feedback, they can do that. So moving on then. We're talking with MSPs and vendors here, as generally speaking. You speak to lots of MSPs, and obviously you are a vendor and you've worked in larger vendors. What do you see the sort of big challenges that MSPs are facing as we go into sort of the back half of 2023 and into 24?
Yeah, I think I touched on the whole app focus for Ovir, and I think cloud continues to be a great opportunity, but it's also, there's a challenge there where, you know, when we speak to MSPs, where they've been more looking at, hey, we're getting revenue from servers, and now that's kind of disappearing because everything's moved to the cloud. It's replacing those pounds and dollars. That's kind of a challenge which we've seen. It's kind of a key impetus for us building something which we're building. And so there's that, those kind of opportunity. And I think it's, you know, putting myself in the seat of an MSP, it's just a minefield with so many solutions out there. So when we start with PrevX, it was very simple. With Webroot in the marketplace, it was very simple because Webroot was probably one of three vendor solutions out there viable for MSPs. But now, you know, there's hundreds of solutions. And in fact, you know, one of the things which I've did whilst I was taking a break was write a blog series about the perspective from a vendor, and I, you know, counted up the number of solutions for the MSPs, and they say in the hundreds of solutions. So I can empathize with the MSPs around vendor selection, choosing the right tool set. So, you know, that's kind of a key thing on kind of the product side. But also, you know, from a cybersecurity perspective in general, it's just the attack surface is just increasing massively for them. And so I feel that MSPs aren't being supported by the vendors in this sense. So again, that's kind of one thing which we're looking to change.
Yeah, and that kind of topic came up on a previous episode of the podcast. I can't remember who I was speaking to exactly, but we spoke about the exact same thing. Going back to when I was within an MSP, it was the stack of products, I guess, that you'd be reselling would be, I mean, Microsoft Office at the time. It was probably called sort of Box Product Office. And then you'd probably sell an antivirus product, which would be Webroot or a Sophos or something, and a backup product, which would probably be Symantec or Datto or whatever, depending on what era we're talking. But that would be it. I mean, you'd probably have a firewall in there as well. But the stack is tiny. And every MSP, I kind of think, knew all of the vendors. So I could walk around DattoCon back in the day and I'd know every product. Earlier this year, I went to DattoCon in Dublin. And I, as I usually do, I kind of walk around, say hello to everyone on the booths, find out what they're up to. And at least half of the products there, I wouldn't have had a clue. I probably could have guessed the security in some way, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't have known what they do. The amount of products is just mind-blowing now compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, I think vendors are seeing that the possibility of MSPs, and like looking from a vendor perspective, the economics are great if you engage with an MSP, because there's all these kind of expansion dynamics of MSPs. They grow, and as they grow, you grow. It's not like a mid-market company where it stays pretty stagnant, and that this is kind of super appealing. Investors are kind of, hey, you know, there's this growth market here. So there's a pressure on vendors to kind of look at it. And one of the other things which I've been helping up doing whilst I had some time off is kind of just giving that reality check to some vendors and private equity firms to say, look, you know, there's a lot you need to do to be successful in the MSP space. It's not just about product. There's you have to, your whole business has to be, you know, MSP friendly, like how you do support, no barriers to support. You know, you got to sell and market in a way. And a lot of vendors are trying to be a lot of things to many people. And you'll see some of those guys tail off, and you already do, like they dip the toe in the MSP market, don't get the success they want, and then go back to trying to sell to enterprises. So yeah, it's challenge, and especially challenge again for MSPs to know what's what. It's I used to go to RSA in San Francisco. I did that for probably 15 years on the trot, and that's a security conference, and you walk around the booths, there's hundreds of vendors, messaging's all the same, and it's just so difficult for any buyer to kind of really know what's what. So yeah, it's a challenge.
No, but it's the right place to be. I think MSPs, and from a vendor point of view, they hit the nail on the head. It's a great opportunity if you can get it right, because the scale's there. And obviously the number of all the research seems to show is that more and more SMEs are looking to work with MSPs to help them with their security. So if creating a right product which is fits MSPs from a billing point of view and a management point of view, it's once you get that right, then hopefully it's a great opportunity. So yeah, that's why there are so many vendors in the space, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, changing gears slightly away from the MSP space, although they could be MSP related, I'm not sure. But I mean, what do you do in your downtime in terms of, you mentioned golf, but do you do anything with books, podcasts, TV shows, films? What do you do to relax?
Well, I don't read as much as I should, but when I do read, it's kind of on more, I like my product management book. So you know, there's a couple of books which come to mind. Inspired by Marty Kagan is a great book. And so any product folks out there, and even recommend to MSPs, because there's some real key takeaways on this. And also Lean Startup, which is a fantastic book, and that's by Eric Ries. So I often go and reread that every so often. So they're my go-to books, and a couple of key takeaways which might be relevant to MSPs. And there's also another thing which I forgot to mention is there's various articles, and I'd love to share the links with you, Chris, and your listeners around strategy and that's my prior background is product strategy, corporate strategy as well. And so, yeah, a couple of takeaways are really around differentiation, what makes a strategy, you know, what's the difference between operational effectiveness and strategy. And I see this a lot in the MSP space, where especially when MSPs are competing amongst each other, they're trying, you know, hey, I've been offered this by this MSP, what can you do to match it? Oh, I'll build a similar service or add that feature. And it's kind of like, you know, I'm trying to be a me too and not having a strategy of my own and not really understanding kind of my key strengths and how to kind of package that up and really win on that, rather than, you know, the slippery slope, as we all know, is like trying to mimic your competitors is never good long term, and even if you're trying to do it cheaper. So yeah, there's a lot of takeaways in those books and the article which I can share, and it's that's kind of what I like to read. It keeps me honest with speaking with customers, especially in the book by Marty Kagan, Inspired. It's all about, you know, doing product discovery and like making sure you understand kind of the problems and how you kind of iterate on the design of how to solve it. And, you know, a great pragmatic marketing phrase, which I keep reminding myself and others of, is, you know, as a product manager, your opinion's interesting, but it's irrelevant. It's all about really going to your customers and validating your assumptions, and always start with the problems first and then build a solution after, which is kind of the flip of a lot of tech vendors, which we see is like they build the solution, try and match it into a problem set, and especially with what we just talked about, MSPs and then that amount of vendors there, that's what you see quite often. It's just you know, they've got things the wrong way around.
Yeah, fascinating. And I'd love to see those links. So if you share those, I'll put them into the description again below, because differentiation is something that's it's not a big problem, but it's a hot topic for MSPs, I guess, because back in the day when the MSP model first came along with sort of fixed fee and things, we were quite an early adopter of the model. And that was at the time a big differentiation, because everyone else was still doing kind of time and materials or sort of annual sort of fixed contracts. But now it's kind of, it's the norm. I mean, everything that we used to do, like we used to be, an MSP could differentiate by saying we're doing proactive monitoring, or we're doing this, or we're doing, or it includes these security products. But now everyone's doing the same thing. So I guess it's really interesting to understand how MSPs can stand out from their competitors.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a great exercise I'd recommend for MSPs. And it's on this Harvard Business Review. There's a great article. It's totally random around Southwest Airlines and their activity map system, but it's really interesting. It's something which I've used a couple of times in businesses, and it's really around, you know, it helps that you as a business differentiate yourself and understand also what your key activities are as an MSP and what you are going to say no to. Because one of the hardest things for an MSP is saying no sometimes. And so we hear it like early stage MSPs, you know, they'll always have a couple of clients which they're, you know, take up most of the time, and they've had bespoke services for them, and you know, they're starting to mature and realize that they need to get into kind of a more repetitive model and build that engine so everything's kind of easier for them to manage. And it's, yeah, saying no to clients or offboarding is a really hard thing to do, and it's easy to say, but that's kind of part of this exercise of knowing who you are, where you're going to focus, you know, what are your core strengths, understanding what that is and working with them and not trying to be everything to everyone. So yeah, no, it's super interesting. MSPs are great, which you know, what they do, you know, really, really impressed by, you know, what they get away with so few staff, and I know they work very hard to do that.
Yeah, and it's, again, you've just hit upon a conversation I've had recently at Tech Tribe meetings, and I've been speaking about it for years, which is the whole, and I think it's probably a bit of an Americanism, but it's the firing clients thing. And I think that when PSAs came on board and MSPs could finally kind of put a monetary value to the contracts and what it's costing to support these clients, it became very clear that some, maybe, you know, it could be high revenue contracts, but they're draining far more time than they're generating, which probably could be better used elsewhere. But the issue is, especially with smaller startup MSPs, it's very difficult not to kind of, you know, if someone wants to spend some money with you, you kind of want to take it. And it's a challenge. You know, you don't want to turn all the business away, but you do need to kind of understand and make sure the clients are a good fit for you. I guess it's like a partnership between the vendors and the MSP, but it's also a partnership between the the MSP and the client. And if the client's not on board with what the MSP is trying to do, it's probably never going to be a great relationship.
Yeah, nice. Agree.
Okay, so of course, the final question is around your career then, I suppose, because you've given us lots of great tips already. But I mean, would you have done anything differently, or what advice would you have given yourselves back when you're embarking on the sort of PrevEx journey?
Yeah, I think it's only kind of clicking now, really. I think asking for help, or asking for advice, I should say. Asking for advice and you get help. And so that's one of the things, especially, you know, being so gapped in. I'm a product guy. Yeah, I've had some ability to try different things along my career, which has been great. But, you know, starting a company from cold, just realize if there's a lot of people in which you meet, and don't be afraid to reach out. And I think probably in the early days, I've probably had that more mentality, especially on the product side, that maybe my opinion was, you know, the right thing to do. I'm just going to go and build this because I think it's best. And it's coming back to that phrase by Pragmatic Marketing about your opinion being interesting but irrelevant. It's just getting validation, speaking to more customers, asking for help. You know, they'll be there to assist and guide you. And there's probably some shortcuts I could have taken along the way. But and then the other thing is just kind of be open to trying new things and going out your comfort zone. And you know, I feel I've had a pretty successful career, you know, coming from an engineer, just going into sales and things like that. So yeah, just put yourself out there, and you know, maybe it works and maybe it doesn't, but like, you've had the experience, and you know, you'll grow from that.
Perfect. And yeah, I totally agree. And we're in a great industry with the MSP community. We were chatting before about things like CompTIA and Tech Tribe and all of the different events and networking events that MSPs can go to. And I'm a big advocate and fan of those, but it's not necessarily for the content of the speakers and things, although that is usually very good content, but it's building those connections with MSPs, with vendors, and then sort of leveraging advice. MSPs are very super open to sort of sharing best practices, what they're doing within the business, what works, what doesn't work. So yeah, I agree. I think it's a great tip is to try and engage with these people and ask for advice, because I think as you mentioned, I don't think anyone that I've met has ever kind of said, you know, no, I'm not going to tell you how we solved that problem. Everyone's really open.
Yeah, the MSP kind of industry is like really refreshing, because MSPs talk to each other. It's very different to other kind of channels where, you know, they help each other out. It's like, and recently I spoke to one MSP, and he's been trying our product, and then he recommended us, hey, you should try this out to another guy. And so I had a great conversation with him. So the network grows, and you know, we're not trying to sell, we're trying to get advice, and that everyone's really willing to do that. And it's it's refreshing. And that's again why I've fallen in love with this channel.
Yeah, you just summed up the community as a whole, which is why I'm here and why you're here. It's a great place to be. So
yeah.
On that, I'd like to, we're at time, so thanks so much, Paul, for joining us. I will put all those links into the description, so they should be below. And I'm sure if anyone wants to reach out to talk to you, they will do. But thanks again for your time.
I appreciate it, Chris. Have a great day.
Cheers, bye. So, season 5, episode 1 in the can. Hope you enjoyed that. I've put a link to all of the stuff Paul spoke about in the description below. Some fantastic resources and tips there. Hope you enjoyed. Once again, tell your friends and listen next time to Tate Talks. Goodbye.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by Jump Cloud for MSPs. Jump Cloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic. Using Jump Cloud's Open Directory platform, MSPs can iteratively replace point solutions by unifying device, identity, and access management. To learn more, please visit jumpcloud.com/MSP or email the team at partners@jumpcloud.com.